So welcome back. We'll start off with investigating the soil microbial community structure under reclaimed roads in North Dakota. Eric Vial will make the presentation. Laura Gentry and David Hopkins are his co-authors.
Eric? Thank you. First off, I'd like to start out by thanking a couple other people on my committee for a lot of help that they put in. Dr. Pete Stahl has helped us with sample analysis, and Dr. Amy Ganguly has helped a lot with data analysis. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about some attempts at reclamation in southwestern North Dakota today. As many of you may have heard, North Dakota is going through a very large oil boom, and almost all of that activity is going off in the western part of the state. Some of that development is happening in land managed by the United States Forest Service in what is called the Little Missouri National Grasslands, located down here in Billings County. Now, as these lands are developed for oil extraction, lots of infrastructure has to go in, like pipelines, these pumping units, and also these roads. Now, after a while, the wells that were developed on these sites stopped producing oil at a profitable rate, and the Forest Service requires that these roads be returned back to the native prairie before disturbance happened. Now, as you can see from this picture, sometimes that attempt at reclamation just doesn't work. Here we have some recontouring issues and possibly some plant community issues as well. And if you dig a hole, like as soil scientists we like to do, within the first 10 centimeters, you can run into old surface material from the road. So the surface material is not removed in the manner in which it was supposed to be during the reclamation process. Now, my study is the third study on these roads. The first one was conducted by Sarah Simmers and Dr. Susan Galatowicz out of the University of Minnesota. They looked at vegetation on the road as compared to the native prairie. And what they found was that the roads had different plant communities. But more importantly, the plant communities on the road were associated with seeding mixes applied during the reclamation process. Now, these seeding mixes changed through time, mostly through policy, as we realized that planting crested wheatgrass everywhere we could was not exactly the greatest management strategy. She also noticed that there was little to no encroachment of prairie species from the native prairie onto the road, and she reported possibly suboptimal soil conditions on the roads, which was inhibiting the native prairie plants from colonizing the roads again. Because of this, a graduate student at North Dakota State University, advised by Dr. David Hopkins and Dr. Frank Casey, studied soil physical and chemical properties on the roads and compared them to the native prairie as well. What Heather Mattis Dose found was that there was increased pH and increased EC on the roads, there was reduced infiltration on the roads, and also there was decrease in soil organic matter on the roads. So this is where I come in. Now, previous studies have found that EC, pH, soil organic matter, and plant community are different on these roads, and all of these are major drivers of the soil microbiological community. The next logical step in this process is to understand how these reclamation processes are influencing this soil biology. So my objectives are to, one, determine the effect of age and distance on microbial response variables. Age, I am calling time since reclamation. That's what age is, and remember, it's mostly associated with seeding mix. Two, I'm looking at determine how environmental variables explain response variables, or microbial response variables. And three, characterize the soil microbial community of reclaimed roads. And to do this, we're going to be looking at enzyme activity and PLFA community analysis. So first, we use site selection. We selected roads. We only selected roads that hadn't been involved in previous studies so that we could use the data from those previous studies in our data analysis. We looked at sites that were thin loamy ecological sites to try to control for some of the soil variables in this very variable, variable landscape out in southwestern North Dakota. And also we chose roads that had been reclaimed at three different time periods to try and get at that, to see if there was an effect of seeding mix on the microbial community itself. Now, in order to get at distance, we measured three distances. We measured 3 meters from road center, which is represented here, 10 meters from road center, and 50 meters from road center. The way Sarah Simmer set up these plots was the 3 meter point was designed to measure on-road community. 10 meter point was designed to look at a transition zone between the 3 meter and the 10 meter, and the 50 meter point was designed to represent the 50 meter community. So we used the GPS points that were collected at the time of sampling from the previous studies, and we sampled using a grid system. We tried to capture a little bit more of the picture around that site rather than just taking one soil sample. We took 10 cores from within this grid, and we sampled from 0 to 5 centimeters. Samples were placed on ice and kept cool to prevent any drastic changes in microbial community structure during storage after sampling. Our microbial response measures are enzyme activity. We measured 4 enzymes, alkaline acid phosphatase, beta-glucosidase, and phenyl oxidase. And our community measures were we used phospholipid fatty acid analysis, which was a modified blind Dyer method, which is a single-phase extraction. Then we sent the extracts to our collaborators in the University of Laramie, who used a gas chromatography along with the MIDI software to identify any interesting signatures in the samples. Statistics. To get at objective number one, we wanted to determine the effect of age and distance on the microbial response variables, so we used a PERMANOVA, which is a multivariate analysis of variance. Then to look at how the environmental variables were related to the microbial response variables, we used ordination techniques. The thing to remember with ordination is that proximity and ordination space defines relationships. Things closer together have more of a relationship than points further apart. Specifically, we used canonical correspondence analysis because we wanted to explain the microbial response variables constraining them to the environmental variables. So, first off, looking at the PERMANOVA results, we used the PERMANOVA again to measure the effect of age and distance on the microbial response variables, and we found that age was not significant and that distance was significant. Since age was not significant, we did not include it in our CCA, we used it as a covariable in our CCA, which turned our regular CCA into a covariate CCA, also known as a partial CCA. So looking at this graph, we have partial CC axis 1, which explains 39% of the variation in the microbial response variable matrix, and we have partial CCA axis 2, which explains 17% of the microbial response variable matrix. Now, since we had determined that distance was in fact significant, we wanted to see what environmental variables were driving that distance effect So the red vectors indicate environmental variables that explain the axes positioned here. As you can see, clay is here. Percent clay is on this side of the positive side of the x-axis, and percent sand is on the negative side of the x-axis. Those two variables indicate that the x-axis is a textural gradient. So we're moving from clay soils to sandier soils. Also, the y-axis is more associated, the positive portions of the y-axis are more associated with higher amounts of soil organic matter, and the negative portion is lower portions of soil organic matter. We need to flip that for pH, so negative Negative Y is higher pH or more alkaline environment. Positive Y is lower pH or more acid environment. So, although this, the x-axis or the textural gradient explains the most amount of variation in the microbial response variables, it did not get at the distance effect that we found in those variables. What did was the y-axis. As you can see, the green triangles represent the 50-meter points on this plot. They tend to accumulate around this area that is higher in soil organic matter, whereas the 10 and the 3-meter points tend to cluster in areas that has lower soil organic matter. This shows the distance gradient and disturbance gradient that we were looking for, although we might not have been able to identify that intermediate zone because a lot of the blue squares or the 10-meter points are clustering with that, tend to cluster with the 3-meter points. So we couldn't talk about that. Now let's move on to the microbial community structure. First, we'll talk about the enzymes a little bit. If you look up here, we have acid phosphatase, phenyl oxidase, and alkaline phosphatase all clustered in areas that tend to have more soil organic matter. This makes sense biologically since the role of enzymes in their environment are to cleave nutrients from soil organic matter to make them available for other organisms to metabolize. Then we look at the fungi. They tend to be associated with the higher amounts of soil organic matter as well. That makes sense biologically as well because they tend to respond poorly to disturbance. When disturbance happens, it breaks up all of the mycelium and it takes a while for them to spread throughout the soil again. Now, if we look down here at gram-negative bacteria, they tend to group with the 3-meter sites. Now, these 3-meter sites tend to have low organic matter and a more alkaline pH, and these gram-negative bacteria have been used as indicators of poor soil quality. So, in summary, we determined that distance did have an effect on microbial response variables using the PERMANOVA. We identified a gradient of soil organic matter that also helped to identify the distance gradient or the disturbance gradient. We characterized the microbial community structure, and we noticed that the effects of the road may extend further than previously thought into the native prairie, which is probably our most interesting finding. Moving forward, we would like to further investigate this textural class effect on the microbial community. There's a large body of literature out there. I just haven't touched on it. I've got a couple of theories, but we don't really have time to talk about them right now. Investigate relationships of the plant and microbial communities. Since we have the data from the plant communities from Sarah Simmer's work, I'd like to do some more ordination to try to figure out the relationship between different plant communities and different microbial communities, and then look a little bit more at that mycorrhizal community, which did not respond as I had expected to. So, acknowledgements. Again, I'd like to thank my advisors, Dr. Laura Gentry and Dr. David Hopkins, all the people who have helped me in the lab, and the United States Forest Service for helping me for funding this project. Thank you very much.
Do you think adding, say, an organic fertilizer as mycorrhizal fungi might be beneficial? And let's say, if you're doing an excessive amount of tillage, knowing what you're doing, do you gain any ground by using that substance in recovering some of your soil structure?
On these particular sites or in general?
In general,
I would assume, in general. So the question is, do we increase soil structure by using organic fertilizers?
Yeah,
I would say we'd have a... Sure. Yeah. I would say yes. But for the enzymes, when we were looking at the enzymes, we got higher results, higher activity in the 50 meter zones than in the 3 and the 10 meter zones. Does that answer the? No, okay. And we did not have a difference between the 3 and the 10 meters, so that's another example of we might not have caught that variability moving from the 3 to the 10.